This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the Forum Journey Podcast. We've got a treat for you guys. We've been hearing from people in their vocation, their career, their job, and where they've seen God at work.
And hopefully they've enjoyed the last two, or last, I guess, four episodes.
Four, but two interviews with Jan and with...
Will and Courtney.
Will and Courtney. And so now we have two other guests with us today, and we're going to hear from them. So I'm excited to hear.
Yeah.
And Elmer, do you want to introduce?
Yeah, I we were just reflecting as we were talking before we started recording. The first time I remember seeing them, which they reminded me was 10 years ago, which means that they're probably now 22, so they must have been 12 when I met them.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. But I remember them sitting in the back row. If you walk into our sanctuary, it's that first sanctuary seat that's no longer there, by the way, because we have chairs now. But I remember them there, and I remember thinking, wow, that's a cute young couple. And I went up to meet them, and they're going, yeah, my name is Jimmy and Emily. And then they said, Lululdubba. And I'm like, Jimmy and Emily, awesome. It's great to have you guys here. And I could not pronounce their name.
Better would be if they asked you to spell it. And then...
Well, I got Dom. So Dom Ashofsky.
That's pretty close. Yep. Okay. We'll take it.
He'll take it. And, you know, my name's Goodwill. So plus I'm Elmer. I had mean parents. At least you. And Jimmy, there's a story behind your name. So let's tell that story.
Yeah, I'm actually the third. So my dad was James Edward Dom Ashofsky II.
Yeah.
Of course, my grandpa and myself, and then our first son, who we call Little Jimmy, is James IV.
Yeah.
So there's.
I tried to talk Tammy into doing the third, you know, Elmer Leroy Goodell Jr. You know, well, be the third. She seemed to say no. I had five chances, no every time.
You know, you don't hear a lot of Elmers.
If you had a name like James, maybe we should go with it. But because you
Well, James, you have options. You know, there's Jim, Jimmy, Jimbo, Jim right. Bob.
Depends
on how far south you are.
So, Jimmy and Emily, let's tell us a little bit about you. Who you are? Where you come from? How'd you get to Centralia? How'd you guys get here?
You want that one?
No, you can.
Oh boy, so I worked for a company for a long time. And they opened a division in Olympia. And this is back in 2009, 2010, sometime in there. And, you know, obviously the location was in Olympia, and we looked at houses all over when we moved here. And Centralia just felt a lot more like where we were from. We're from a smaller town in Oregon.
Okay.
Little town called Dallas, and Centralia reminded us a lot of that, so we decided to stick around here, and I just commuted when I worked there.
Nice. Okay. So, Emily, tell us a little about you. How'd you get hooked up with this guy?
We were a blind date.
No way.
Yep. And then he proposed, I don't know, like 2 months later.
You know what? You know what that is?
I think we had 3 months.
Yeah.
You know what that is? He saw, like, I had not let this gal get away from me.
That's exactly what it
totally.
Was.
I totally resemble that. Good. I've known you for that long. I didn't realize that.
Blind really?
Who set you up?
My sister and her now husband.
Oh.
What's funny about that is they actually, so the company I worked for, her sister's now husband, then boyfriend, was also working at the same company. And he had approached me several times and said, hey, you know, my girlfriend's sister is single. You know, she wants to know if you guys want to go on a double date. And I was like, you know, just either I was kind of seeing somebody, or she, when I was interested, she was seeing somebody. And one day it just worked out. And I'm, you know, kicking myself now that I didn't jump on that a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
Our blind date was on Valentine's Day.
Yep.
I think you proposed. Was it March or May?
Yeah, blind date was Valentine's Day, May, we should know this date.
Something.
I want to say May 18th
and then or 26th. We got married in October.
Yeah.
It was fast.
That was fast. That is awesome. That's true love. True love. We could make a Disney movie. We could make a Disney movie at this. So, all right, tell us a little bit about you besides... Just Dallas, but tell us what you guys do. What is your What's your passions here in the Centralia area? Obviously, you mentioned this company. Tell us how that evolved into what you're doing now.
So the company I worked for manufactured paving stones, and I started working there when I was really young and kind of worked my way up into management, and that's what brought us up here, like we talked about earlier. And so I kind of reached a point where I wanted to do something different. We had back in 2011, about a year after we moved here, we started a coffee stand. So we kind of got our feet wet in owning a business, and did the coffee stand thing for 4 years. We still do it, but decided just we wanted to be full-time business owners. So I quit working at that company and started my own company installing paving stones. So we're basically a construction company.
Cool.
And that's fills the majority of my day. And we've taken it, we started out with just a couple guys and myself. And gosh, I think this last payroll, it's kind of surreal. You don't, as a business owner, you get so caught up in just keeping your head above water sometimes with everything going on. And I added up the checks the other day, and I think we're at 25 employees now.
Wow.
So we've really, these are things that I just never really think about. I don't have time to think about it. And I was sitting there counting them, and I was like, wow, we really.
And that's all together?
Just a construction company. That's just a construction company. And that's not including subcontractors. We got a couple subs we work with too.
Yeah.
But it's
how
just
many employees
nuts.
with Jimmy's Espresso?
I don't even know how many we have. How many we have at Jimmy's these days?
14.
That's wow, it's almost 40.
Almost 40. Wow, that's
we're almost into healthcare territory.
That's so funny. That's what a business owner would think of.
Yeah.
wait,
we got to tone it down. We got to buy health insurance.
Well, that's funny. That's funny. So let's talk about the names. Tell us the names of your companies.
So Jimmy's Espresso is named after our oldest son, and it just seemed pretty fitting to go get your Jimmy's.
Jimmy's.
James Edward the Fourth. This is your copy. It sounds like a king, honestly.
It does.
James Edward.
Yeah.
When I get really serious, I'll spit out my whole name. This is one of my funny things I do sometimes because, talk a lot on the phone business-wise, with work and stuff. And every once in a while, somebody will say, I'm calling for, so-and-so. And they're like, can I tell them who's calling? And I love it when they ask me that. Cause I go, yes, this is James Edward Domashovsky III. And they're like, okay. And then they'll go and tell. And half the time, they don't even know who's calling because they know me by Jimmy.
Well, give me a second while I get the last name down.
Could you please write that down and spell it for me?
So Jimmy's Espresso opened in 2011.
Yes, correct? September of 2011.
All right, with a stand, and now, so where are you guys at with Jimmy's Espresso?
We have two stands now.
That's and we've relocated one stand. We started out in one side of town, moved to the other side of town, and then we started another stand about the same time in the next town over in Chehalis.
Yeah. That was a bad idea. To move one stand and start a new one.
Yeah, we basically started
that was a
over.
Lot of work.
Yeah, seven years into it, we started over. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I heard fun, not very smart. No. So I'm going to go with Emily's on this one. Is that what I should do, Jimmy?
Well, it depends on how you define fun, really. Okay.
Correct. Good call.
I have some pretty good videos of them picking up that stand and moving it, and it almost
was
flipping.
That was a little dicey, wasn't it?
You don't realize how low power lines are across some of these streets in Centralia until you're driving a building through town. And we barely made it.
Yeah, if I could give some context to that, like I'm chopping wood the other day and I was thinking, am I gonna hit the power line that's over my head? That's how low the power lines are. So just give some context.
Well, that would have been a good look. But beard, that would have been awesome.
With an axe going through it. So.
No, I'm thinking more of the electricity going through your beard. That would have been awesome.
But did you have to have any poles pushing up the power lines as you're going down the
road? Probably should have, but no.
Right.
No.
We made it.
We dragged it.
Fly by the seat of our pants.
Cool.
Cool. It worked out.
So talk about pavers. What's the name of the pavers?
The company name for the paver company is Eli's. And so we have three kids, Jimmy, Eli, and Adina. And so at the time we only had two. And so it just, we, it's really difficult to come up with company names. And so we decided to keep the first name thing going. So okay. Eli's Paver Patios is the other company we have. And we've been doing that. We're on our sixth year now.
Cool.
And yeah, so we...
And what's the work there? What are you doing there?
So we primarily do patios. We do a lot of retaining walls, a lot of driveways, walkways, okay. anything involving concrete paving stones.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, did you know they just finished up a job? Did you finish the job over at the Quimby's?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, we did a big job for
Will,
them.
Will and Courtney, they just had their... back patio, part of the driveway, cool. side walkway.
Yeah.
And we're recording right now, right next to the Centralia Splash Park.
Yeah. That was you... our, yeah, one of our claims to fame there yeah. was that big job. Yeah. That was our first commercial job.
That was your first commercial job?
First commercial and first prevailing wage job. And that oh, wow. was, that was a whole new set of stressful situations. You know, In our industry, it's all about labor. You know, we're right. always watching. When we bid a job, we estimate how many man hours is going to be in the job. It's the big thing. And then when we, if we go over or whatever, sometimes it's a matter of whether or not we even make money. Prevailing wage for pavers is about double what we normally pay. And so okay. it was yeah, really dicey. Difficult to get that
gotcha.
Nailed down. Mm-hmm. I had to lay a lot of pavers in that job to help keep everything going.
Keep things going. Okay. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's yeah, yeah it's held up. It's great.
Cool. It has held up. It's nice.
Do you have a third business by any chance?
Oh, yes and no. Okay. Normally this question comes up.
I'm just thinking about Adina and how sweet she is.
Well, we thought we were done at two. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. Adina was a big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But she shouldn't have been pretty awesome.
And shouldn't have been. As soon as she could start crawling, I think she had boots and spurs on.
She did have boots and spurs on. I mean, yeah, she did.
I think she was riding horses before she was
and
crawling.
Still, yeah. Boots and spurs.
Boots and yes. spurs.
Everywhere yeah. she goes.
Yeah.
Nice.
She will never wear a dress.
Oh, you know, nice. We kind of, Adina got, she got lucky because she got to choose her business. And oh, so she's, gotcha. We have a indoor riding arena at our house we built a couple years ago. And so that's her thing is we're going to rent out the stalls and do some horse riding lessons. We're already doing horse riding lessons and training and stuff cool. like that.
That's fun. That's fun.
So that one, I think it's going to be Adina's equine facility.
Okay.
But we're not.
Well, we just talked
on that yet.
Yeah, we talked to our bookkeeper a couple weeks ago about getting to the point where I have to probably start another business because of the stuff going in and out of all that.
What's one more? But no, you've diversified where it isn't just that. I mean, there yeah. are other. There are
yeah,
you
we. You know,
are...
I did an auto shop for a while. I had a partner, a guy I've known for a long time, PM Auto, and I actually recently. Kind of restructured that and signed everything over to him. You know, I was just kind of started out kind of feeling it out, seeing how it went.
Right.
And
right.
you know, Paul Michael was the partner on that, the owner of it now. And, you know, he really just, he fit into that position and he's really handling things really well down there. And so I kind of got him up and going and now it's all his.
Cool.
So
cool.
Still get our trucks worked on there quite a bit, but that's, you know, it kind of helped him get going for a year and a half. And
yeah,
it's his
I remember
baby
when we first
now.
Got started, I brought our car in. It was having lots of trouble. I'm like, I want this car. I want my oldest to be able to drive this. And that's like 5 years away, yeah. 4 years away.
Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah. So he's like, all right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I covered a few of the monthly rents on that.
on the facility.
On that property.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. yeah, I mean, everybody needs an addition done at the home. So
right. That's, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, so we're thinking.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
Thinking for helping them out.
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't even know as I'm talking to you, you got nearly 40 employees. You're changing people's lives, guys. Has that ever dawned on you? Or just hearing that you have 40 employees that depend upon you. For their livelihood. Have you thought of, I mean, again, that was not one of the questions.
Well, that's super weighted.
Oh, I know gosh. It is weighted.
There are 40 people that rely upon the two of you.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
All I heard was, do you really care about people or not?
I'm looking at that going, dang, that's awesome. I see that as being awesome.
You know, a lot of it's hard because, you know, I think earlier I mentioned this and This is the first time I've sat down and added up both. I didn't for a long time. I've had the number 10 stuck in my head for Jimmy. So I thought we just had 10. We normally keep around 10. I guess we have 14 now. I never added them up, you know.
Right.
It's hard, you know, because so much of our focus every day between kids, our relationship with God, everything we have going on at our house, everything we have going on with the businesses, there's just not enough time in the day to think about stuff like that. And we gotcha. Don't, every once in a while we sit down and it's like, wow, it's really surreal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we didn't go into this to have this, what we have right now.
Right.
We went into this because we wanted to be our own bosses. We wanted to make a good living. We wanted to have options and more freedom. And it's kind of turned into this.
Right. It's morphed into.
Yeah.
Usually I say it's become bigger than who we are.
Yeah.
And again, I think as I'm just sitting here listening and I'm reflecting with you, I'm reflecting with you, is I just think that's kind of cool that there are, because oftentimes I think of how Devin got here, how I got here, and how, I mean, obviously God had his hand with me. He definitely had his hand in getting me here because I came fighting, scratching. I didn't want to be here. But how much once I'm here, I've bought into this is where I want to be. Much like when you guys were looking for a place to live. This is where Centralia is where my heart is. I mean, Lewis County, good or bad. I mean, I love her. I love her how she is and with all her warts and with all her beauty. And I'm thinking over the years, I've obviously invested in different people's lives. None of them are employed by me though. and I'm thinking how your investment in people's lives is different, but yet so valuable. It was just, as I'm sitting here, I didn't mean to make it all weighted and all somber and we're dying or anything like that. But yeah.
I know you're like, bring the weight down.
I didn't mean to. No. How do you partner with God in his redemptive work in the world? In relationship to your vocation, in relationship to your businesses. So,
you know, I mean, to be brutally honest with you, and I would, you know, would imagine you guys are looking for honesty here.
No, we're not. We want you to lie.
I grew up in the church, and Emily and I just came back from her birthday weekend. We went and rode horses on the beach, and it was a really fun time, and it gave us a lot of time to talk about things because, you know, we have to get away to really get rid of the distractions. Totally. I mean, even when we're gone, our phones are blowing up and everything like that. But, you know, one of the things I mentioned to her when we were riding around was, you know, I'm not super happy with where my relationship is at with God. I know that I can do better. I've done a really good job. We've done a really good job of giving ourselves an unlimited amount of distractions. And a lot of times when God should be the kind of the driving force or the forefront or our number one, you know, we start here, figure out what God wants and then go from there. You know, he gets pushed down to the kind of the bottom of the priority list.
Gotcha.
And part of that is obvious is just life. Part of that is with having businesses. One of the things that I've learned the hard way is unfortunately you can't count on anybody. You know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody overpromised or just committed to something or didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I ended up having to get up at, you know, midnight and go out and do something because somebody else didn't do what they're supposed to do, you know, it's kind of almost warped my brain into, you know, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself.
Gotcha.
And even if you have somebody else do something on your behalf, you're still involved in making sure it gets done. And so, unfortunately, that spilled over into my relationship with God. You know, it's like, okay, well, I have a harder time now relying on God because I rely less on other people now. I can't rely on other people because I've just gotten the shaft so many times. And so when it comes to this, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't really thought about that. I haven't gone out and said, okay, how can God and I team up on really, on creating a culture or what, you know, creating an environment for my employees where I can be a shining light and I can come alongside them. You know, it's hard, you know, we're some of the most difficult moments we've had is when we've gotten too close to people that we work with. And it creates this, you know, we went into it when we were younger and starting this, like, oh, you know, if we're friends with everybody, they'll want to do a better job. Because, I mean, of course, if you work for your friend or you work with your friend,
right.
you want your friend to succeed. So you're going to, you know, you're going to go above and beyond. And most of the time, we have several cases where, we have several cases where it did do that. You know, I've got some guys and gals that work for us now that are just like, they'd do anything to make this all come together, just like we would.
Right.
There's been other situations where it went the other way. They're like, oh, well, you know, I went to dinner at Jimmy and Emily's last night, so now I don't have to work as hard today. You know, I can show up 10 minutes late. And then the other employees see that and they're like, oh, well, you know, they're friends with the boss, so they get to do whatever they want. And so I'm going to do whatever I want. So that's kind of an extreme example, but it's situations like that that caused more stress in our lives than what we normally deal with day to day. And so it makes it hard for me to get close enough to my, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to find that balance of how do I be an example. And I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like, I have a really hard time not showing how I feel, but my expression.
I've never noticed that, Jimmy.
And I also think real.
I'm sure that's news to Emily as well.
Yeah, and I think out loud. You know, I'm thinking and talking right now. You know, no, and so who, you know, you're have to. I'm like, there's something wrong with me. I have to hear myself say it for me to understand it.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm sure you've all caught me talking to myself. I do it all the time. Emily catches me all the time. If I'm showering by myself,
all the time.
I mean, I'm on there. Jimmy on the podium, catches me too. Hammering down.
Who are you talking to? Doesn't matter. She's like, okay, all right. Obviously, you have a conversation because I do. I have to process it. I get
you. Okay. And so that's, you know, that's something that me personally, I'm sure we'll work on it together as well. But it's something I need to work on. You know, where. You know, how can I use...
Well, let me give you an example of something that I've seen.
Yeah.
And maybe this might help you. Talk to us about your love for Mexico.
This last year, I wanted to... you know, one of my passions is bringing the people that I care about with me to Mexico. You know, I got to bring my family down a couple of years ago, which is a lot of fun. Three of the more recent trips, I've taken my oldest son, Jimmy, with us, which is just awesome. And this last time, I decided to have our company sponsor a trip down. So that's when I got talking with you, Elmer, and I didn't quite have the turnout or the didn't have enough people.
Buy-in.
Yeah, the buy-in that I was hoping for. I ended up with five people, and then so that's when I got with you, Elmer. I knew Elmer is like the master at coordinating all this and getting it all done. So I literally handed you my credit card.
You did. It was
said,
awesome.
Make it happen.
You should have seen those things from Amazon that Tammy's wearing right now. It's amazing. You probably don't even notice.
Well, yeah, probably not.
I never did that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. I wouldn't worry about you. Now, some of the other people that have credit cards, I worry about, but not you, Elmer.
All right, thank you.
So we decided to kind of join with the church and see if there was anybody else interested. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted a group of 10, and we got our 10, and
sure,
and we had a lot of mother daughters and father sons on the trip, which was really cool. And it was a great trip. You know, I still have people come up to me almost on a regular basis and say, man, that was such a great time. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Talk to us about fundraisers. I know you guys have done some. You sponsor one right now. I know for Officer Dickey and his daughter.
Well, when we moved here, we brought, of course, a horse with us as well. And so I got to know Andrea through horses and that, because her best friend and I rode together. And so us three used to do a bunch together. Okay. And that's how I knew Andy. And Andy had always talked to me about trying to help kids here in town. She's like, you know, I'm one of those, I'm an average American. I make too much to get any extra like grants or anything, but I don't make enough to pay for college. And so that's when we kind of started. She had talked about the scholarship. And then when she passed, I had talked to her mom about possibly doing a day every year on just celebrating Andy and her life and what she wanted.
Right. Cool.
And so we do that every year. We do quite a bit of other fundraisers as well when people come up to us and ask us and say that they need help. Sometimes we can think of some on our own if we see a need, but most of the time it's other people coming to us.
Cool. That just came to my mind. This is one of my favorite questions that I ask everybody. In your work or vocation, what didn't you expect to happen but has?
For me, it's my relationships. That one's huge. I mean, my best friend was an employee of mine while ago. I don't remember when. And that's Peach.
Okay.
And at that time, my brother had moved up here, moved in with us, and was living, sharing a room with both of our boys. And he ended up with my best friend, Peach, who was she was my main employee.
Okay.
And I was just like, you just can't screw this up. But it ended up being really awesome. But what I saw through that was, you know, Peach wasn't a Christian before any of this. And it was our relationship and her seeing what Jimmy and I had, and she has her own story of her past, but she wanted what we had, really, you know, that's something she really desired. Cool. And with her dating my brother, just happens, you know, and he also works for us, but it's cool to see that, you know, I really, I don't always, obviously I'm not going to be best friends with all my employees, but it was really cool to see that happen. And her, you know, she gave her life to Christ. She got baptized at our church. And and within that, even her mom and stepdad have been coming to church. And her grandparents are coming to church now. Right. And just to see how that changed her whole family dynamic just by our relationship.
Yeah. Becoming a sister-in-law.
Yeah.
She's a mom now.
Yeah. It's crazy. And even through customers, because we've got Big Joe who... he started coming to church with us.
Right.
It's wild to see what those relationships, that's what I see in what I do.
I love Big Joe, by the way.
Everybody loves Big Joe.
He's one of my favorites. Jimmy, how about you? What didn't you expect that has happened?
Oh man, one of the things we touched on earlier is the, I guess the growth, you know, you get stuck in the mindset of how things are when you first start, you know, and in my head, when we started this, I just thought it'd be the same all the time.
Right.
And things are changing. And, you know, it's almost like you wake up one day and, you know, I can't stress enough, I guess a big part of my day is just trying to keep everything going. And then it takes quite a bit of conscious effort for me to sit back and reflect. And that's actually one of the things, you know, talking through a lot of stuff I need to spend more time doing is really kind of reflecting what can we do with what God has helped us create here.
Okay. And you should know what are the two questions, you know, what is God saying and what are you going to do about it? That's a reflective question, obviously.
I promise I'm going to have really great, collected, intelligent answers the minute I pull out of here.
Well, you just go ahead and text those to us. Just do voice, and then we'll just add it to
the podcast. Like a call-in person, like a radio show or something.
Yeah. Hey, we got a caller here. Oh, it's Jimmy. It's Jimmy.
Wait, I have a better answer.
Can we splice this in, please? Yeah. They'll never know. But no. Do you have anything else for him?
Yeah, no. Let me share this story because this is a good one. And when I think about you guys, this is a story. Well, maybe Jimmy, this is the story that comes to mind with as far as Mexico goes. Is it was the summer before COVID that we went to Mexico, and it was a group. We're building a house, doing VBS.
Oh, and he drops the thing on his foot.
No, that was a long time ago.
That was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's 4 years ago. That's a good story, by the way.
This one, I have a few kids on the crew, and you're one of the main ones there with work, doing the block work and everything. And
I know what you're talking about. Yes, I'm with you. I'm tracking.
Yeah, we have a medical team with us. It's a huge team. There's like close to 40 people.
Yeah,
and we're up there at the top of the wall for the home. And
I think it's where the string was.
Yeah.
Yeah, up there. Yeah.
And you're up on the scaffolding, and we've got a boy that's there with us, and he's struggling to know where he fits in and what he's gonna do. And
he had some not behavioral, but he was rambunctious.
Well, certainly it was hard to focus in.
Yeah, he had some focus issues.
As anyone, right? But especially if you're like having to carry these big blocks and you're a kid. So, but what I experienced and what I saw was, right, you're like get the job done task. Let's go move it.
He's a business owner.
If you're not going to move fast enough, I will do it for
this
you.
Time is money.
Here's what I saw. I'm down there handing block up, and I see you up on the scaffolding with this young man, and you are. And
he's probably 9, maybe 10.
He's the same as Jack Jr. And he's you're teaching him how to lay this block, and he's in the beginning struggling to focus.
He was. I remember this now. He was very, very, very intent on him doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that was a stretch for me.
Yeah. And I got to watch you slow down and teach him how this was.
Because it would be a lot easier for him just to do it.
Totally would be. Yeah. You could just easily done it to get the trowel and hand me the mortar. Like, get out of my way, kid. But you slowed down and worked right alongside him. Your two hands became four hands, well, two and a half, really. And not only that, but what the events would transpire later on in the week when we're ready to leave, that he had this experience and this connection with you, and that he was a part of what was going on. He wasn't just in the way. And for me, it was like, Jesus teaching the people, and the kids are wanting to come in, they can't make it in. And the disciples are shooing them away. And Jesus is the one calling them out. Come to me.
Right.
And in that way of like slowing down and teaching him and showing him and really being this.
Giving this, value.
Yeah, this teacher for this in this effort, in this moment. I was like, that is beautiful. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us. And it was great to watch.
It's funny because Dev and I reflected on that was probably a turning point for both of us with you. And recognizing you probably could lead a team now, because a couple of years before that, I would say to you that you had all you could, because you speak Spanish. You can do anything.
You could build a house.
You can build a house, but can you build a team
and people?
Yeah,
it was a beautiful moment.
Tell the story about you. I think he purposely went handicapped that one year when he dropped the tongue of the trailer on his foot.
I think it was also the van in the ocean.
No, because I was there.
The ocean was, I think it was 15.
Yeah, that was before
2015.
Yeah, because I was at Oakview. One of the kids, it was Aubrey probably. And I'm there and I'm getting this text message. Hey, I'm heading to the hospital. So why are you heading to the hospital? We leave tomorrow morning. We're meeting at 3 o'clock. I know. But I just dropped a tongue on my foot of the trailer. Huh. Yeah, that's unfortunate. You're not going anywhere. I'm coming, Elmer. I'm going to have a boot. And so, yeah, that was I think for me, that trip was probably the beginning of watching you. Do you remember us getting tacos late at night?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. That was that. There's been so many. They're kind of all blurring together. But, you're right. That was the first year that I couldn't work. Mm-hmm. If I had my way, I would have a shovel and a wheelbarrow, or I'd be sitting on an excavator. I just want to go at the end of the day. I just want to go work.
Right.
And so these Mexico trips, part of my selfish intentions were just to get in there and actually,
get it done,
accomplish something. Yep. I get this big high off of achievements. One of my biggest flaws, but it also helps keep things going.
I would use the word identity, but that's fine. Use other words.
Yeah. and that year I just couldn't. I remember I just couldn't take it anymore. I just took a pick from somebody and said, I have to help dig this for this wall. It was a wall of eternal anchor. And I had to swing this thing for a little bit. Cause I was extra pumped up that year because I had, I went from working in an office for years to running a construction company. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get out there and get way more work done. I'm used to working with my hands now, and then boom, broke my foot. Yep. And I couldn't do
diddly squat.
Yeah. No. I was able to paint a little bit.
And you couldn't drive?
Couldn't drive, yeah.
So you're stuck in the front seat with me, and we just talked about life. That struggle is awesome.
I remember going to get tacos. You know, El Pollo Loco isn't even there anymore.
No.
Correct. Yeah, you're right.
That died. Yeah.
All right, Devin, we're about two things.
Yeah, we are. Reproducible discipleship.
And kingdom stories.
Yeah, thanks for being with us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your kingdom stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.